You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. We are disrupting aging one show at a time. All of our episodes are available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. We've got a really great show for you today, folks. Kate Bridges, Senior Research Advisor at AARP's research team, joins us for the first time here to talk about a recent survey conducted here in the Tar Heel State. And now it is helping inform the work that AARP North Carolina is doing. But before we get to Kate, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined here in the studio with Curtis Media's finest, Mike. He turns around. He's looking. Who am I talking
about? We couldn't get the finest, but I was available. So here I am. Good to see you.
Mike Davis. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. And I wanted to tell you, I love your tagline, disrupting aging one podcast at a time. I like that. Did you come up with that?
I did come up with the full thing. I didn't come up with the disrupting aging. That goes back to other people who are at a higher pay grade than me, who are certain CEOs of AARP, perhaps.
Yeah, but I like that. I like that. Let's do it.
Well, we are doing it one podcast at a time. We get into a lot of good topics with our guests here, Mike, don't we?
Well, we do. Well, thanks to you. I mean, you're the one that sets this up. I just push buttons and things. But you come up with our great guests, like Kate today, and the topics. And I enjoy this. But thanks for letting me be a part of this. I just want you to know that I've had great fun doing this with you for a while now.
And same here. And you know, I was thinking, as I always think about as I'm driving here to the studio, what you and I are going to chit-chat a little bit about. It's not completely
cold. It's
always
a mystery.
It always is. And I usually don't know until I actually sit down. But I was thinking here, you know, your predecessor, I had a little nickname for him. I would call him, a steam production engineer, blah, 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 blah. And you, I thought of one good here, Mike. I thought, you know, the legitimate talent of AARP Without Limits.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
The check is in the mail, my friend. Thank you. I like that.
Well, you've been here. Wow. You've got the skills and the background and the voice for sure, Mike, here. But and I do, it's a pleasure getting to learn from you. Anyway, we are in the middle, almost in the middle of May. Mm-hmm. And whoever's listening to this, he could be listening to this 6 months from now. But we're entering the second week of May, my favorite month of the year. The mornings, Mike, this week, have you been? I know you've been out. Have you been local?
I was not. I just got back from Washington, D.C. Okay. I was up there on work for about 4 days, and weather was nice up there. Here's the funny thing. Mm-hmm. So somebody, we stepped outside, and I'm working with colleagues from the Midwest. And we were standing outside. This was, I think, Monday morning, and they said, "Oh, it's really humid." And I said, "It is." I said, "This feels wonderful to me." You know, temperatures were, you know, maybe around 72 degrees or so, and mm-hmm. I didn't notice the humidity at all. And here they are; they're breaking a sweat. I'm thinking, guys, don't come to North Carolina, you know, for the next several months. You will not make it.
That's right. You're complaining to the wrong person, guys. That's right. You want to know humidity.
It was wonderful. Good weather, a wonderful trip. And I got I have to tell you this, and I'll let you go. Mm-hmm. Let you get back to your job. One night earlier in D.C., I was part of a special group. I had nothing to do with this. I just happened to luck into this. A special group that got an after-hours tour of the Capitol with a senator.
Hmm.
And it was fantastic.
Really?
It was Senator Lankford mm-hmm. from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Very knowledgeable. He is something of a historian on the Capitol and of America itself, and just gave a wonderful, like, 90-minute tour to a small group of us, and it was just fantastic. I learned so much, and it was really made me appreciate our country and its heritage even more. So it was a wonderful time. So I've got a you're the first person I've had a chance to tell this to other than my wife.
And our listeners.
And our listeners.
All of our listeners, Mike.
Yeah.
Now they know as well.
It was fantastic.
That's great.
So I was really honored to be a part of that.
That's fantastic to hear that. I'm glad you got to enjoy that and experience it. A lot of the senators, they really appreciate the Senate as an institution and its history.
Absolutely.
And it's great to hear Senator Lankford being so generous with his time.
We could not sit down. He took us to the Senate chambers. Mm-hmm. We could not sit down. That is verboten. You can't do that unless you're a senator. He took us to the House. The House chamber, he said, have a seat. Make yourself at home. No problem there. We could just sit anywhere, but not in the Senate chamber. You can't do that there.
All right.
So there you go.
House rules or Senate rules?
Senate rules.
There you go.
That's it.
Before I introduce our guest, I want to mention one thing, Mike, that you may not be aware of. One of AARP's biggest publications is something called the AARP Bulletin. This goes out to all anybody who's a member of AARP or AARP households, as we say, which here in North Carolina, we've got 1.1 million members. Mm-hmm. So a lot of mailboxes in North Carolina are going to get filled with this every month or every other month it is. AARP Bulletin newsprint. In this month's edition, May edition, AARP Without Limits is then part of the North Carolina feature.
Oh, right.
How we are disrupting aging one podcast at a time, including some of our guests. One of our repeat guests we've had in the past, Reverend Odell Cleveland out from Greensboro. He's going to be our next guest for the next show later on in the month. Looking forward to having him back on. But yeah, those of you listening, this could be your first time hearing this show because of the AARP Bulletin. So we want to thank our friends at the Bulletin for letting us.
Welcome aboard.
Little feature on us here. So let's get to the good stuff, the important stuff, Mike. Nobody cares what we have to say.
Or what I have to say. You have plenty to say, and I'm going to let you do it.
I want to bring on board here my friend Kate Bridges. She is a senior research advisor at AARP's research team. She works with their national office, our state office, in conducting surveys. And I know a lot of us here, we hear surveys, we hear polls, and folks have different opinions about that, especially in recent years. And we're going to get into a little bit of that with Kate. But I have to say, you know, AARP does take its members' opinions and the opinions of people 50 and older very seriously, and we're very deliberate. And that's why we have people like Kate helping us make good decisions in terms of how we reach out to people in the community to find out what they think about various issues and things going on in their community. So for the first time, welcome to the show, Kate Bridges. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Great, thanks.
I was there on site with you guys in North Carolina. I'm up here in Maine. It's a little chillier up here. Spring has not arrived yet. Happy to have you.
It's coming. And don't say anything about the humidity up there in Maine because Mike will slap your wrist virtually.
There's no humidity in Maine, right?
No, only on a couple days a year.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Kate, let's begin, if we could, because we always love to do this with our guests who've been on for the first time. If you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at AARP.
Sure. So I've managed research for AARP over 20 years now. Most of that time has been spent working at the state level with our state offices, helping them identify the needs and legislative priorities for the 50 plus population. And as you probably might pick up on my accent, I am from Maine originally. So hopefully you'll forgive me for that, not having the same beautiful accent that you have in North Carolina.
Great. Thank you. Let's get a bit into the work that you do. Now, we know polls and surveys are always being conducted, whether it's a big election year or not. And these days, people definitely have mixed feelings about polls and surveys. Can you tell us a bit about the practice and why are polls and surveys important? And also, what distinguishes a good poll from a bad poll? Because we know they're not all created equal.
Yeah, sure. Scientific surveys are important to us because they really are the only efficient way we have to find out what the experiences and opinions are of a population. Without them, we really would be making kind of biased assumptions and perhaps faulty decisions because we only are hearing maybe from the vocal minority. The polling industry, yes, has had a tough few years with a lot of criticism around the inaccuracies of the polls. being able to predict the election outcomes. But you have to remember that polls represent a point of time in public opinion, which, as you know, can change with the wind, or at least with every news cycle. And the gold standard that we used to use for surveying was random digit dialing. So, you know, we would randomly call people on the phone and have a, you know, a conversation with them and get their opinions. But that no longer works as increasing numbers of people are moving around the country and no longer using landlines. The industry really has had to find new ways to get representative samples of the population that they want to reach. So now that requires us reaching people multiple ways, including online. And so it's a lot more difficult now than it had been in the past. It really takes a lot of scientific intelligence to make sure that you have a balanced and representative sample when you're collecting data from a variety of ways. A lot of people don't know that a lot of research goes into how to accurately conduct reliable research. We have a professional membership organization called the American Association of Public Opinion Research, or APOR for short, which sets the standards for what constitutes good polling practices. And AARP follows those practices, and we're very transparent about all the polls that we do, as is expected of anybody that is a member of APOR. So when I see a poll published, the first thing I look at is to see who is conducting it and if they are following APOR standards, which if they are, they will certainly be letting people know that that's who they follow.
Great, thank you. We're going to cut to a break here in a moment, but I just want to say for folks, because we have talked about public opinion polling. We had a show back, a couple of shows, where we have discussed AARP polls that have taken place. And especially around the presidential election, where we AARP partnered with two major firms. One is Impact Research, which is a left-leaning poll, and then Fabrizio Ward, which is Donald Trump campaign's own pollster. And they worked together with AARP to do a poll to give us the most accurate snapshot we possibly could. And I just share that just as an illustration for folks if they weren't aware of the lengths that AARP does go to try and get people the best information possible. When we return after this quick break, we're going to continue our conversation with Kate Bridges, specifically about something called the Vital Voices survey that was recently conducted here in the Tar Heel State. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back.
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, you have a comment, you have a recommendation or a suggestion for a future guest or topic, please send me an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Kate Bridges. She is the senior research advisor at AARP's research team. We've been talking to her about polling and the business of it and the practice of it. And I do want to continue our conversation, Kate, by asking you specifically about something called the Vital Voices Survey, which was recently conducted here in North Carolina. If you could just first just tell us, what is the Vital Voices Survey? Why is it important?
Sure. The Vital Voices Research Program was started about 10 years ago. And it was created to give every state office, our AARP state offices and territory offices, a state-level survey every 3 years. Prior to that, it really didn't have a good way to get data on a regular basis from the members and the 50-plus population. So we now have this survey that we do every 3 years in North Carolina. We work with our state offices to design the questionnaire so that we can get at the opinions and experiences of the residents in that state on the issues that are important not only to the residents of the state, but also the issues that that AARP offices are working on. And then the survey results are then used to support state advocacy, media outreach, and then, of course, planning the decisions and programs that the state offices are going to be implementing.
You recently conducted one for North Carolina. Can you tell us a bit about that? When was it done? Who was surveyed? And what were some of the highlights of that?
Yeah, so we conducted our North Carolina survey, started at January 30th and went through about February 4th. And we surveyed about 700 residents age 45 and older. And we conducted that landline with multiple modes, again, so we could get representation of the state. So we use landline, cell phone, and online surveys so that we are confident that those results actually represent the 45-plus population there. The survey itself covered a range of issues, including healthcare, financial issues, Social Security, fraud, housing, and caregiving, to name most of them.
Now, access to healthcare is a big issue, even for people who have Medicare or private insurance, as is caregiving. Share with folks, what did we hear about folks' thoughts on those issues?
Yeah, definitely big issues for our members, especially. 9 out of 10 told us that several aspects of healthcare are very important to them, including having Medicare available to them in the future, being able to pay for prescription drugs, and having access to high quality healthcare services in their community, all very important to them. And then caregiving is another big issue. We found that over half of the residents in North Carolina, age 45 and older, have been a family caregiver, taking care of an older family member or loved one. And about a quarter of them are currently providing this care, and another third have done so in the past. So we asked, one of the questions that we asked about is whether people would support having registered nurses with advanced training serve as primary care provider for residents. These nurse practitioners, and several states do this already, but these nurse practitioners have additional training in specific areas like elder care, and often visit older people in their homes. So it's a very critical part of the healthcare system now. And we found that 86% of the respondents supported this proposal to allow registered nurses to provide that care in North Carolina.
And as you mentioned, describing what Vital Voice was all about, how it helps us at the AARP state offices to focus our action and develop our agenda. And this particular bill is something that we're working on right now, and especially important in the rural areas of the state, which is over 70%. Kate, I also got to ask you about housing. That's a bigger and bigger issue for AARP every day. We asked some questions about that. What specifically are we hearing about the housing situation?
Yeah, for sure. About 70% told us housing affordability is a serious problem in their communities. And one quarter told us that they either had to move or know someone else in their neighborhood who had to move due to the price increases. And we had three quarters of respondents said that they think that elected officials really should make it a high priority to make sure that there's more affordable housing in the state. One way that communities have addressed the shortage of affordable housing is to allow homeowners to create accessory dwelling units on their property. And that's one area that we asked about in the survey to see how much support would be in the state to allow homeowners to create those accessory dwelling units on their property. And these allow people to, have adult children live nearby or to help bring in additional income while also providing kind of lower cost option for renters. And we found that there was definitely the high support for allowing homeowners to do that.
Thank you for mentioning that, the accessory dwelling units, or ADUs, as we say them for short here. There's actually a bill now in our state legislature addressing this. So the timing of this has been very good and very helpful for AARP North Carolina. Kate, we had, as you know, a new attorney general elected, Jeff Jackson, who we're hoping to have here on the show here, Mike. We're just confirming a date with him now, which we're looking forward to. We asked survey respondents, now that we have a new attorney general, you know, what type of fraud would you like to see him focusing on? What did respondents say to that?
Yeah, so first of the thing that I was really jumped out, 85% of the people we spoke to said that protecting themselves from consumer fraud is either extremely or very important to them. That's pretty high. And nearly half of them said that they either know a family member or a close friend who has been a victim of fraud or a scam in the state. We learned that the residents think that the high priorities really should be for the state's attorney general to several types of fraud that they want them to him to focus on, including identity theft, phone and internet scams, and investment fraud.
Yes, and one of the ways that this research was very, very helpful, given the timing of it, Kate, I have to say you and your team did this right at the right time, because right when it was done and we had some data available to us, we had a meeting with our first meeting with the Attorney General, and we were able to share this. And I can't tell you how happy he and his team were to hear that, because we said, yeah, we literally put this in a survey. What do you want the new Attorney General to be focusing on as far as fraud goes? And I'm happy to say we've got a great working relationship already with the new AG, and we're planning on not only having him here on the show, but doing a big event with him in Charlotte, focusing on fraud around cryptocurrency and crypto ATMs and all that good stuff. So, Kate, got one more question for you. Of course, you work not just with North Carolina, but all of our state offices. I'm wondering, is the responses that we got in this survey pretty typical across the board, or were there any answers that stood out, made North Carolina stand out a little bit differently from other states?
Yeah, well, and one of the things that we asked about, and it's probably maybe no surprise to you, but it was to me, because I've done research in other areas. We asked about homeowners and renters insurance, and we've asked that in other states as well. But we had 3/4, had told us that they had an insurance policy, but about 80% said that over the past year, the cost of their policy has gone up. And that is considerably higher than what we've seen elsewhere. You know, obviously, unfortunately, we've had, a terrible storm there, and that has impacted, I'm sure, a lot of people with their homeowners. But that was a pretty staggering number to see.
Yes, we have been cited. North Carolina has been cited as one of those states where we're seeing our insurance rates go. I mean, obviously, you look at California, you look at other states that are in the zone of tragedy more often than we are. But Wall Street Journal, they've been doing a lot of giving a lot of focus to this issue, and North Carolina is coming up pretty much in every single article. So, for sure, it doesn't come as too much of a surprise to me that's our respondents are also saying that as well. Kate, before we let you go, how can folks who are listening get a view, look at AARP polls that have taken place, or anything else coming out of the research team, stuff that's available publicly?
Yeah, so it's aarp.org/research. Pretty easy to find us.
Simple as it gets, isn't it? aarp.org/research. Well, folks, we are out of time. I want to thank Kate Bridges for being our guest. Hope she will join us again, perhaps after our next big survey we have here in North Carolina. Thank you to Mike Davis for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.